was awesome. You guys are great. Children, you can go with Crystal and head on out. She's got a lesson for you. For those of you that are still sitting here, if you want to find John chapter 6, we're going to be in John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 4th Gospel in the New Testament. We're going to be there, and we're going to take verses 22 through 58, and they're going to be on the screen here in a minute, and we're going to you can follow along up here on the screen, because if you want, you can use your scriptures, of course. But I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It's one that I like to preach from, and it's the scriptures I like to use. So if you want to follow along with the exact same thing I'm saying, you can follow along on the screen, or you can read your scriptures. But before we get to the scriptures and whatever, anything, I just wanted to tell you something. I love bread. Okay? I love bread. And we're talking about the bread of life today, so, man, perfect. It was like made for me. How many of you love bread also? Okay, so there's a few of you. Yeah, I especially love homemade bread, right? It's just like if you get it and you have like a little bread oven, or maybe you're old school and you actually put it in a bread loaf pan and you put it in the oven, but when it comes out and it just smelling so good, and it is hot and it is warm, and then you take a knife through it and then you see some steam come out of it. And then you just sit there and you go, oh, it smells so good. And then maybe you get some butter, right? And you get a big slop of butter and you just put it on there and you just spread it around. And then there's some jam. Maybe put some jam on that. I tell you what, for most of you know that I've been on this weight loss journey, right? And so I haven't had much bread in the past 17 months, which helps. So there's this correlation. And so like today I got on and I'm down 82 pounds. So yeah, thank you. And it's been a great journey, but I miss that bread. And so last night I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bake some bread. And so like I dust off. And there's one of the things I have to tell you, that my wife and I have been married 18 years. And one of the first things that I ended up doing for my wife, and it was actually for me, is we went out and we bought a bread machine. And it was, it really was for me, okay? I used it. It wasn't like I went out and bought her a vacuum or anything like that. I bought the bread machine. And it was for us. And so, like, it's been on the shelf. And it was kind of getting some dust and different things. And so I broke it out last night. And I made this bread. And it was exactly like I just described. I mean, can you almost smell it right now? Can you just... Oh, man, we're getting close to noon, and believe me, we'll be out, so you can go have some bread. But I made some bread last night, and I broke it out, and I did all that, and I cut it, and I opened it, and the steam and the smell, and I put butter on it, and I put some jam, and I was doing that, and then I went and gave it to my girls. So I didn't eat any, but that's okay. But it was like, I love bread. As a matter of fact, I have here the loaf that I had last night. Minus a few slices, and so we have that here because, you know, we're talking about bread life, and we're talking about how important bread is. But I actually, honestly, happen to have the actual bread machine with me, and let me see if I can get this down here. It's plugged in, and I don't know if you can smell that. Oh, man, that is, it's hot. It's warm. Oh, and we're just gonna let that sit right there for while we. Not for long. Gary's gonna be coming running down here on those things here in a minute, but we're gonna talk about bread today, and we're gonna talk about bread of life. We're gonna talk about who Jesus is and what He told us in John chapter 6, but. But I sit there and I said, you know what, let's talk about bread. What is bread? We all eat it. We all love it. We all like it. We can smell it. And if I had you're fortunate that I don't have a fan behind it just oscillating to blow it out there. But let me tell you what I found out about bread. Bread is, and most of us know this, bread is prepared by cooking a dough of flour and water. Okay, and you put different things into it. But it's considered a staple food. A food, and by staple food we mean it's a food that's eaten regularly and in such quantities as to constitute, big word, constitute, there you go, that's not so big of a word, but it's constitute the dominant part of the diet and supply a major proportion of our energies and needs. That's what bread does for it. In the Western world and even in Europe and whatnot, it's bread. In Asia and most parts of that area of the world, it's rice. But bread is a staple for us, and that's what we know. And bread is one of the oldest prepared foods. And as a matter of fact, there are some things that they can try to figure out, and that maybe they found some yeast spores and some different things for 30,000 years or so. But they're pretty specific about 10,000 years ago in the Neolithic area that bread was made and that we ate bread. We ate the kernels of wheat and made some sort of bread for nourishment. And it's referred to colloquially as the staff of life. The very foundation for life itself. And bread is in one form or another, beyond question, the basic, most basic form of food in our society. Past or future, and definitely right now. It is fundamental to who we are, and it is fundamental to sustaining life, and hence why it's called the staff of life. And all in all, to me, that's pretty impressive for some simple, unassuming loaf of realizing how beneficial this really is. And so it's by no accident, absolutely no accident, that Jesus used that exact metaphor, and it was applicable then, 2,000 years ago, and it's extremely applicable today, when he sat there and talked about himself being the bread of life. Look in John chapter 6, and let's hear the scriptures. I'm going to read verses 22 through 58, and if you want to stand, however you want to honor his word, you can do that. But follow along with me. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had bread, and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. And they found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And understand, and let me stop there, but understand when you back up, this is just following the feeding of the 5,000 where Jesus gave bread and fish to them. And now this is the next day. And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of this approval." They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" And in verse 29, Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." And they answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. And the scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day." And Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day." And so typical of the church, then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, and this is what the Israelites did, They murmured, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" And Jesus replied, "Stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And on the last day I will raise them up. As is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I, who was sent from God, have seen him. And I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh." Then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. "And how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" they asked. So Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me." And finally, in verse 58, "I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but they will live forever." May God add blessing to his reading. You may be seated. So we see four truths in this passage. Four real simple truths. And the first one that we see, it's really easy to hunger for the wrong things. It's the first truth we see. And we see that clear back in verse 26. And let me ask you, you like bread, and we talked about that, but and we're talking about, and maybe you get the smell and different things, we're coming up to lunch and everything, but how many of you have ever really, truly been hungry for something? Truly hungry. And maybe it was for food or something. But think about that. Think about that time. What satisfied that hunger? What ended up taking care of that need that you had? Our society today, unfortunately, doesn't know what it's hungry for. We're kind of misguided. Because honestly, we all have been able to eat. And we've all been able to have a meal and have our needs met. And in the North American church, it's while there is hunger and there's poverty and there's people going without in our country, it's pretty well off. And so we don't really know the needs, or we don't know what it's like to have to make clay pies to eat just so our stomach feels full, as we were recently hearing about places in like Haiti and different places. But our society doesn't know what it's hunger for, and it hungers for the things that it thinks it needs. And I tell you what, I found myself in this list that I'm about to read to you, and I want you to think, have you ever found yourself in this? Do you hunger for money? Do you hunger for success, power, privilege, pride, prestige, any material thing, or friends, or acclaim? Self-esteem? What are you hungering for? Are you hungering for things of this world? Or are you hungering for things of God's world? See, it's really easy, and the people that were following Jesus that day, they had just sat there and they had been fed from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And an incredible miracle had happened. And that time after time after time, they were able to have their physical hunger met by a meal. And they watched Jesus do this. And they were pretty impressed, but they didn't understand what they had seen. And Jesus had been trying to teach them. And he sent the disciples away, and he stayed, and he prayed, and then he ended up joining them on the other side of the lake without a boat, because he was God. And so they queried. They were like, wait, we saw the disciples leave, but Jesus, how did he get there? And they didn't seem to give it a second thought. And then when they get to the other side and they find Jesus, Jesus says, you know what? The only reason you're even here is because I fed you. The only reason you even came back is because I gave you a meal. You're not getting it. And so we see that it's really easy to misidentify what our hunger is. And it's really easy to hunger for the wrong things. But then we see the second truth, if we just go one more verse into verse 27, because it's hard to understand what we hunger for, it's hard to, and it's really easy to misunderstand what our needs are. What truly sustains us? What do we truly need to operate with? Again, another question for you. When was the last time you said, I need this? Did you truly need it? Or was it a want? We want food, we buy it. We want clothes, we shop for them. We want cars, we purchase them. We want jewelry, we get it. We want entertainment, we seek it. We want. We want. But do we need? And that's what Jesus was focusing on in this passage. He's sitting there saying, are you just wanting? Or are you needing? And when you realize what you need, that's what you're going to want. You following me on that? But it's really easy to misunderstand. We're inundated in our society with just pictures and commercials and everything of Madison Avenue telling us what we need. But in reality, all we have to do is come back to the Scriptures. And in this book, we find out what we need. And what's great is this book also meets those needs. So we misunderstand, we hunger for the wrong things, we misunderstand our needs. And thirdly, if you're down in verses 30 and 31, you find out it's really easy to misunderstand, it's really easy to be unsatisfied with what we get. Jesus knows what's best. May not be what we want or what we need, but that's what we get. But take yourself to like Christmas or to a birthday or anything like that, and you're opening presents, and it's all about you. And I think of my kids as they continue to talk about it. They plan their birthday parties a year out. And they just say, well, hey, to my birthday party. And it's like, you know, you just had it. This is what I want. Or I really need this. Yeah, really? No. But you kind of get disappointed with what you get. And the people were doing the same thing here. They were murmuring. They were complaining. They didn't understand. They didn't like what they were getting. You know, Jesus said, you're only following me because of I fed you. Well, they didn't like that answer. They didn't like the fact that Jesus went on this teaching discourse saying, you know what? I'm the bread of life. Your ancestors, they were fed by Moses in the wilderness. They were fed by God with Moses in the wilderness, manna from heaven. And yeah, their daily needs were sustained. But you need to eat and drink of me. We live in a world where we don't go without. We want something, and if it hasn't been given to us, we go and get it. It doesn't matter if we don't need it or can't afford it. We seem to find a way to fit it into the budget. Oftentimes, it could be used by racking up debt, using our credit cards, because we've used our cash to get some of those things that we don't need, and we have to continue to supply those needs of things we don't need, and then there's nothing left over for the basics. Our heat, our electricity, our mortgage, our tithe, our offerings. Because we're trying to continually to fill this, we're not happy with what we have. Why? Because we're listening to the wrong things. But understand, it's easy, and maybe you don't totally find yourself in that boat, but that's easy to step that way and to get there. And that's what we need to pull out of this passage. it can happen and you not even notice it. You can begin to rationalize and justify and do and make some priority adjustments in your life, and before you know it, it's all unaligned with God. It doesn't match up. And then we see the fourth point. It's really to not understand who Jesus was. Verse 42, they said that, isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? Or verse 52, then the people began arguing with each other with what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They didn't get it. They didn't understand who he was. This morning in our Sunday school class, we were talking about it. Ephesians chapter 5, and in Ephesians 5 verse 1, Paul tells the church at Ephesus to be imitators of God. And in order to be an imitator of God, you have to know who God is. And you have to know who Jesus is. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across. And that's what we're trying to get across in this sermon series of these I Am statements, of all these things, of Jesus saying who he was. Last week was I Am Yahweh, meaning I am God. I was there. First part of John tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They were all there. In Genesis, we read the scriptures and it said, let us make man in our image. It's talking in the plural. So we know God always was, always has been, always will be. And now he's sitting there saying, you know what? I'm the bread of life. Using a metaphor and understanding that this is the staple of all life. This is the staff of life. And he's saying, I'm the staff of life. You are sustained because of me. Sure, I fed your physical hunger. But there is something much more important, that if you eat of my flesh and you drink of my blood, then you will have eternal life and you will reign with me. And what he was doing was he was giving his discourse of saying, I'm fixing Genesis chapter 3. I'm fixing what happened when Adam and Eve committed the first sin. Because as Peter tells us, at just the right time, Christ came for us. And Jesus is trying to tell him, hello, wake up, I'm him. I'm the staff of life. You need me. I'm the most basic, fundamental, underlying ingredient to sustaining life. Jesus meets our needs. Jesus is the answer to our hunger. He is the bread of life. Christ is the only food that we need daily. You have to have it daily. You have to eat from his scriptures. Drink from his word. Be in his presence. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, am I imitating God? Do I understand who God is? How does my life reflect that? It's easy to do all these things, to hunger for the wrong things, to misunderstand our needs, to be unsatisfied with what we get. But don't not realize, in all these double negatives and poor speaking, understand who God is. Understand who Jesus is. And so there's three things that we do out of this. Right? These are the four truths we see, but three action steps I'm going to give you. What do we need to do? First of all, believe in him. Verse 35. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never, ever, ever, ever be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never, ever, ever, ever be thirsty. Simple. Believe in him. He came for you. Secondly, verse 38, do the will of God. Don't do your own. Jesus tells us, I came to do my Father's will, not my own. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying and he's saying, God, I don't want to do this. If you can find another way, take the cup from me. But God, I'll do it. I'm going to do your will. Do the will of the Father. Do the will of the one who sent you. Sent him. And then third, be hungry. Be hungry. Our ushers are going to come forward and we're going to end up taking communion. And we're going to have the bread and the juice and the elements. And guys, go ahead and come forward and just stand down here for a minute. But I want you to be hungry today. God is saying, I'm the bread of life, and I can fulfill and I can sustain every need that you have. But how hungry are we for God? How hungry are we for Him, for His teachings, for the bread that He has? Try to pull this out. Nice. How hungry are we today? Man, it smells good. Jesus can satisfy so much more. So much more than this. Jesus can satisfy you today. And if you don't know my Jesus, it's so simple. You just say, God, I want to follow you. I want to follow you, God. Help me. That's all you have to say. If you want to do that, then this meal is for you. Our ushers are going to pass right now. They're going to pass the elements. And I want you to take the juice, and I want you to take the bread, and I want you to hold on to it. And I want to just eat this meal together. Here is a family. And be hungry. Be hungry for Him. In your hands, you hold some bread and you hold some juice. And it's a symbol and a representation of what he talked about in the latter part of chapter 6 here in John, in the Gospel of John. And he sits there and he says, if anyone's going to live forever, then you have to eat my bread and you have to drink of my blood. Eat my body, drink my blood. And it was a foreshadowing of what he was going to do for you and for me on the cross, of where his body was going to be broken for us. And so you have broken pieces of bread right now. I have a broken piece in my hand, symbolizing that broken body of Jesus Christ. And this is just a symbol, a representation and a reminder of saying, God, I want to know you. And because I know you, and because I want you in my life, I eat. I eat. So take that bread and eat right now. Eat a piece. It's good stuff. But he also says, if you drink of my cup, you drink of my blood, you'll never go thirsty. Bread and water, bread and juice, it's all we need. What are you hungering for? What do you need? When you know what you need, you're going to know what you want. So what do you want? Take that cup and drink and remember of the blood that was spilt for you on that cross. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for being the bread of life. We give you the praise and the glory, Jesus, in your name.